We're on our way to Lubbock yet again. Every Tuesday, well, most Tuesdays, I go to Lubbock and go to the temple. Sometimes Lisa comes with me. This is one of the times that she's not. So I'm on my own and driving through. Oh, I'm just going past. This is where the title Blister came from. Between Muleshoe and Sudan is a kind of a, it's not really a geodesic dome, but it kind of is. It's been here for a long time. I remember when I was young, they built this. I have absolutely no idea what they do there. There's all kinds of little signs that say there's all kinds of weird chemicals in there. I have no idea. But they've got this, but yeah, they've got this thing, and I think I used to start calling it a blister, and that's what named the geodesic dome that I did out on the, range, out at the craft site. So yeah, we just passed by that again. Oh, I tell you. All kinds of wind turbines all turned in different directions, and I don't see any of them turning particularly. This is interesting. I think it's, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about it. You know, I'm not going to be surprised if a lot of them just get quasi-abandoned. I think when they put these things up, they had to put up some kind of bond or something, enough money to say that you could take, you know, that once they finished their ultimate life span, that you already had the money to disassemble them. Of course, the problem is that you say how much it costs at the beginning, and you pledge that, took a surety bond, and then when you finally get around to it, it's what, 25 or 30 years later, and you go, boy, the cost of fixing this is so much higher that we can't afford to do it. You know, the places, I don't know, maybe they'll declare bankruptcy or something, and then all of a sudden you've got these stupid things all over your land. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how it works with the cows. If the things will eventually just fall down, if they're not being maintained, and they're not being serviced, they're going to fall apart. And they're going to fall apart in ways that aren't going to be very useful. Is it going to kill some cows? Yeah. And you know what? Getting your cows killed ticks off a rancher, because that's money on the hoof, baby. This is, yeah, this is, you can tolerate the occasional dead cow, but not very many. And certainly, if you can blame it on somebody else, oh my gosh, I can't even begin to imagine how that's going to go. And what's going to ultimately happen is the state will have to come in, and the state will raise everybody's taxes and do some kind of weird abatement program, you know. And it's like, oh, God, what? And, yeah, it's just going to be more expensive because all of the landowners who went, oh, this is fantastic, I'm going to get paid a ton of money, and I don't have to do a thing except rake in the money and enjoy it. And you go, did you? You know, says, trust me, they're going to be the ones coming back. I'm sorry. I don't think ranchers are any better than anybody else is. And I know you better never say that in front of ranchers. Ranchers are fantastic and pure and wonderful. And if they get rich, it's because they deserve it. So anyway, which is whatever. Whatever's fine, you know. And but yeah, when it comes down to it, they're going to be demanding taxpayers do this. You go, oh, I didn't get that electricity for free. I had to pay for whatever electricity that thing churned out. And now you want me to pay for it again. Yeah, it's your fault because you wanted wind-generated electricity. And it's like, huh? This is, I don't see you complaining about it. I remember when I was driving for Talus one time, there was a little sign attached to the fence of somebody's thing saying, hey, wind companies, notice my land. You can, I'll be happy to deal with you to build wind generators. And it was hand lettered, it's kind of funny. And, but it was just indicative, you know. It's like, oh, I want to get into debt with you so bad. Yeah. I don't know how it all worked. I don't know any of the stuff around it. These are just things that I kind of think, hope maybe happened when all this stuff came in. Of course, it isn't going to work. It never does. And it always just ends up being kind of a catastrophic mess. So a whole bunch of ranchers are going to have a whole bunch of breaking down wind turbines on their land once they finally come back and say, you know what, when push comes to shove, these things don't make enough money to make this worthwhile. Because I'm sorry, a wind turbine, just by its nature and how it looks, does not last forever. It simply can't. But the only problem is, it isn't like some kind of, you know, it isn't like some kind of big factory, you know, stuff like that where you can make some upgrades to it that doesn't cost a ton. You don't have to tear the whole thing down and rebuild it again. Because chances are, if you tear the whole thing down, they're not going to rebuild it again. They're just going to walk away from it. Because I think, to a large extent, they put up a lot of wind generators based on interesting statistics. You know, I'm not saying they're dumb. I'm not saying they were tricked. I'm just saying, you know, it's just the chances of them just doing it all over again and making that work again is pretty low. The march of time progresses, and the old stuff, you can't upgrade it. You can't, you know, just do some changes. That's not there. You have to tear the whole thing down and put up a whole other thing. And it's like, I don't think anybody really put pen to paper to figure out if that was going to be a very economic way to do things. Because it really doesn't. I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be. It's like the solar panels. I bought some old crappy solar panels. They'll probably be of use to me. All that, hey, I bought a ceiling fan. Kind of take the place of the ceiling fan in the front room of our cottage. There was one that I put up for my mom, probably 20 years ago. It's probably 20 years old now. And it still does a pretty good job, but this one is bigger, and it spins much faster. And I think it moves a lot more air. And it's really going to make it so that will actually have to use the cooler less, because most of that cooler is being used to cool off parts of the house that we're not in. And so that's a project that's coming up soon. Because Lisa's noticed that with the fan going, she feels fine under it, even when the temperature in the house, when the thermostat says 80 degrees or 81 or 82, I wonder how hot the house will be able to get under the circumstances of her under this fan. And it's a really good upgrade because it will actually cost us less over time. You know? Running those fans, I think, costs less than running the swamp cooler. It's hard to say. Maybe so, maybe not. But I'm definitely we're going to give it a shot. I think it puts out pretty good air. It's not the highest one. The highest one was 72 inches. And I don't think it was done with a DC motor. Oh, and the great part about the DC motor is there's every chance that once I took up once I put up the solar panels and the controller and some batteries, this thing will do a fantastic job of running that fan. If I find somewhere, I didn't know that they made DC fans that you could buy at the store. I've seen ones that you can put in an RV that run off of 12 volt, but apparently they do a really sad job. I mean, they're better than nothing. Way better. But yeah, this one has every chance of being really, really, really good. For the times you need it most, or times when the sun's beating down on you. So, I'm kind of interested in what I can do to make that work. And now that I know that they've got DC motors on these, if I can get one of them to work. Now, the problem with this one is I can't really use it as a tester. But I can do other things as testers, and then wow. I am thinking that this would be amazing. Just utterly amazing. We'll kind of put the older one. Well, see, I don't know. Lisa put some ceiling fans, I think, in the other house. I can't remember. Did they put ceiling fans in the other house? I'll have to talk to Lisa and ask her. I think they might have done that while I was, you know, I'm busy doing other things. Anyway. Put that one out of the front room, maybe put it in. There was a part of this house that was supposed to be the dining nook, kind of the kitchen nook. That was what I think the previous owner and my mom used it for. She had a really small table, and that was kind of their, it was a breakfast nook, but there was only two, it was only Matt and my mom. So they ate off that table there. And I could put it over there, hoping that I'll stir up enough air to make well, how do I want to say it? To kind of cool off the kitchen. The kitchen gets really, really hot. I really do want to use those solar panels for basic cooling in the summertime. You know, it's the perfect time to try to do it. Put them up on the roof. Make the whole system work a whole lot better. Anyway, so solar with some battery power. Make it all come together okay. Getting into town really early. Right now I'm kind of in the middle of a water pass. Show moral support for our friend Ashwin, who is having cancer problems. And I think this is something that he's doing to try and handle the cancer. Might be an excellent thing to do. I hear, now it depends on who you talk to. I hear that cancer cells don't do well with ketosis. It's just not one of their things. And I don't know if that's true across the board or whatever. But if you can starve out cancer that way, I think it's about a billion times better than chemotherapy. Where you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and hope the cancer dies first before you do. And it's like, whoa. Anyway. Seems a little too simple. If that could really solve the problem, I think they'd get more people to do that. But you know what? I don't know. I'm constantly surprised by the decisions that people in charge make. I'm totally flummoxed. And they just do it because they've always done it that way. And you go, do you guys even think about this? And you think that's a rude thing to say to doctors? But can I be honest? Doctors aren't paid to think too hard. Doctors are paid to say, you have this. This is the standard thing to do. Because if you don't do that, you'll get into big trouble. And that's why it's almost like, don't, you know, you go to doctors to know what the common thing to do is. And to be honest, everybody knows that. But doctors make more money on the treatment than on the diagnosis. So you will never get a doctor that just is going to diagnose what ails you and say, you know, go and find what you think will be the best thing to do. And I'm not saying doctors are bad. I'm not going to say that. If they want to keep their licenses, they'll do exactly what the powers that be tell them to do. Whether it's the pharmaceutical company, whether it's the medical association, any number of things. It always kind of works that way. So, there it goes. And everybody gets stuck that way. I am really in a good place. I'm not in a regulated field too much. Although it's starting to kind of get that way. You know, they say, well, this is the way we're going to handle it. We're going to do that. You know, your boss ends up being a big enforcer of something, and you're kind of, it's like, wow, well, there it is. I'm kind of stuck with that, you know, and I was never going to be one of those kind of guys. I like, I like being creative, solving a problem in creative ways. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. I don't know. Anyway, I don't have to worry. I've only got a few more years left. And probably going to just kind of keep on keeping on. It's been a crazy weather season. We have gotten a lot of rain. I can't believe how many times we had to mow the lawn. Usually, at best, we have to mow the lawn once a month in most years. And this year, Nat's had to mow the lawns every other week or so, often. It's really good, though, because all of our plants are growing well. We've got tomatoes. I don't know how many tomatoes I've actually had. Lisa custom puts them into things. So I have had the tomatoes that we have. Oh, I'll tell you what, we're doing something different. Usually I'm incredibly cheap. When Lisa got back from her last trip to go and see the grandkids, and you know, Josh and Alejandra too, they were over in Georgia. She had such a rough time of it. You know, lots of canceled flights, lots of just trying to get there in one piece, and I think the visit was kind of rough for her on some level. And so she was just, you know. So when she was coming back, I said, you know, she was coming in kind of late. And it was like, and we don't want to have to deal with you coming home and then feeling, you know, tired and feeling like you need to make a meal. It says, we'll just stay in Amarillo. And I decided to get us a room at the Drury Inn, which is quite upscale compared to the places that we normally go to. Just kind of your run-of-the-mill, old-timey motels. Not bad ones, but nothing good. And so we did all of that, and I went to the Drury Inn. I knew they included a breakfast, and it wasn't a continental breakfast. It was a breakfast with eggs and ham and bacon and sausage and fruit, and it wasn't like an amazing thing, but it kind of worked like a buffet. You could keep going back and get some more, and it was really nice. What I found out, though, was when I went there earlier, there was a meal being fixed for the evening. And it was like, what? Now, it wasn't anything amazing, but it wasn't bad. It had all the constituent parts that you would expect of a meal for dinner. So, you know, my whole thought was, well, we're gonna have to go and try this for dinner, and then we'll kind of see after that what happens. We usually have to come up with food between the sessions. They usually try to get us out there at 5, and we have an hour off to go and eat, and then we have to be back at 6 for the adult session on Saturday afternoon. And so, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to try this out. Because when it comes down to it, I think that as long as Lisa can find food that works for her in this situation, I think it'll ultimately be less expensive than going out to eat and kind of having the whole problem of you really don't have enough time. And you're just real, just having to go out and just kind of grab little fast things to get, and you go, this kind of dinner buffet that they have might do a good job. Hopefully it'll have some stuff that Lisa can actually eat. She brings her enzymes and else. Anyway, so that's kind of what's going to be going on here. This weekend is state conference. And, you know, and I think I'm trying to turn into something that's pleasant. I don't know if once I'm retired, if I'm really going to be into any of this stuff because, you don't know what's going to go on, but. Yeah. So you have a timestamp on this so you guys know what's going on. It's always really good to get a timestamp. And these things constitute my journal. I don't do a lot of stuff, but I think about a lot of stuff I just now got, I decided to go and get some carpenter pencils so I can start figuring out how I'm going to draw the I'm not calling it the Mariner's Log anymore. It was a wonderful thing, but I've decided to go ahead, go back, and I just refer to it by the 10 symbols. And you go, but I can't say what that is. And you go, that's fine. This is, it's God's plan of happiness in 10 simple symbols. It speaks to joy. Anyway, so I decided to make a lot of changes, take out the whole reference to Mariner's Log everywhere, cleaned all that up. I don't think I've really... I still need to actually work on the actual web page that it goes to. But there's that. I try to make the website so that even old web browsers, if you use HTTP, all the web browsers work, doesn't matter how old they are. Once you do HTTPS, well, then you kind of graduated into I've got to keep all my stuff updated. And I'm a guy that says, let's do something that older stuff can use. So it does HTTPS :// Quix.us. You guys know that one, right? Quix.us. There it is. Boom. Nice. And that's mostly my website, my public face, besides www, which is HTTPS. You don't get the old stuff for this good stuff. Anyway, besides my actual blog, which is www.quix.us, those are basically my two sites, well, except for the Gopher. I keep the Gopher running, and I've got two. I have two wikis, which there is no problem using them that way. It works really well. It's really quite nice. And that's the setup I have right now. It all runs on PHP, which I like. Oh, along with the whole exalts.net. That's www.exalts.net, sorry. And that gives you at least version one of of my my kind of exaltation simulation, which is really kind of, I don't know. At some point when I get a little bit of time, when that happens, it's probably going to be in about 4 or 5 years, I'll make it into, probably expand it a bit. They put some more logic behind it, but I'm kind of happy with what it is right now. As long as a lot of people don't use it, I think I can add a lot more stuff to it. Trying to make it so that people who go to it, make it happen so much better. Oh, I mean, I've already had people say, does it kind of keep track of the choices that you've made? And you go, no, not really. So you can always start making bad choices almost immediately. Everybody wants something to be in the aggregate, and I don't think that is the right way to look at it. It's tempting that as you go further along, it actually weighs more and more because it's the whole concept of enduring to the end. But I don't think I've really rigged it that way. It's really, I don't know if it's elegant, but I've really done some things with it that make it really, really kind of interesting. How it randomizes things, how it brings in information, and how it chooses the different things it does, I think is really, really interesting. I think it's really cool programming myself. But most people don't want cool programming. They just want you to go by some weird standard, do this and do that. And I'm just a fun hacker. I added some features to the very first rendition of it. The one that runs right now is probably the fourth version of it. There's some things I need to fix. Maybe. I think I actually made it so that little Susie can happen to you even if you're not married, because it takes into account that that you weren't married, maybe. It can happen when you are married, too. So it wasn't bad for me that that kind of happens. People slip up, as they say. And there's not much you can do about it. I guess I could introduce better evil aspects to it. Probably need to stick abortion in there as a possibility. And know that really tanks your score. Because you're actually taking a life. In fact, I think that just pretty much destroys most of the stuff altogether. That you aren't a good person anymore. Because we do need to interject things. It might be fun to have kind of a meal thing to it. You know, set up the kind of diet that you want to have. And then at various points, you can decide to change your diet. I really need to work on more bad choices that just aren't obviously bad. Or that people don't think are bad things to do. Like, vegan, eating vegan, and how much problems you're going to have with that, and you're frankly going to be sick a whole lot, and you're going to have things like diabetes, stuff like that, because you just overload on carbs, because, you know, protein is evil. Anyway, so yeah, I need to work on that a little bit. So right now I just have one website running. Right now it all runs on Apache, which works pretty good. I think I might test out FrankenPHT, which is pretty much the mix of Kavi and a PHP server all kind of glommed together. And I'm looking at that as a possibility for my next server, and getting Apache out of the picture. Now that Franken PHP, apparently it's coming up as one of the primo things to use. It's almost being looked at as kind of a potential Apache replacement. And I like PHP for all of the garbage about it, and I used Perl for so many years. Now my tendency is to use PHP instead. The only fun programming anymore is web programming, which is exactly what PHP was designed for. Getting into town. Almost to Lubbock. Again, Loop 29, and go to Sam's Club. And go and get my gas. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do after that. I just got a few options. Anyway, so that's what's kind of happening on the home front. I don't know if you can really do a Gopher server on PHP, but to be honest, you know, I've already got, you know, it runs on actually the thing I use is kind of old. No, yeah, you probably can run it on PHP. The CLI version of it, as exotic as a Gopher server needs to be. So, yeah, we'll just have to see kind of what that might look like. Anyway, I always like keeping my old fashioned servers running, at least so they're accessible, so you can get to them. So I run some really, really kind of down and out HTTP. The problem is that someday, Kavi, I actually do use right now, I do use Kavi and Apache right now, so I'd like to drop one of them. Since almost everything works with Apache, I only use Kavi at the front to to do the reverse proxy stuff. I know you can do that. I know you can also rig all these things so they can work on Apache too. It's already done. You can do certbot to behave that way, and it's kind of tempting to do that. And I don't think Apache is going to start losing other abilities. It might not be a bad idea just to figure out how I can get rid of Caddy and go more toward that, because I really do like running older stuff. And a whole lot of it I run on HTTP, so the certbot stuff isn't terribly important. I wouldn't mind ultimately just having all my stuff run on HTTP and not really getting weird about HTTPS at all. You know, people say, well, it's less secure, and you go, I'm not trying for security. This is all a hobby. It's for fun. I'm not running a business. So, fun stuff to do. Anyway, so, yeah, you know, I'm kind of an old timer. I actually run it. I've got two computers that I kind of bought expressly for the purpose of serving stuff. Right now I'm only really using one. The other one is just for other things, although I'm really tempted because I really more enjoy NetBSD. It's really, I just like it better than other things. I can't watch movies on YouTube because of DRM, I think. I seem to always have problems with DRM on Firefox. I don't know why, I just do. I know you're supposed to be able to kind of run a little mini Linux on it, but it tends to be the full-size Linux as an emulation layer, and it's like, just to run Chrome, and it's like, I don't know. You can do Chromium on NetBSD. I find that good. So, I don't know. Last time I did a BSD, it was free BSD. And that was kind of cool, I got to tell you. It had its cool factor to it, but I'm much more of a NetBSD guy. Free BSD feels too much like being a little Linuxy, which is it's not at all. But I really like NetBSD. I just like the BSDs by nature. Being kind of a guy that likes doing things off the beaten path. The Voice in the Wilderness. The Cohen Meanderer. Anyway, so. There, my friends, is now. Let's see if anything came in for work while I was talking. Nope. I gotta do my time here. Pretty soon. Okay, I guess I'm giving you some space. Because I'm a nice guy. Alright. So, yeah, I'm right here at the temple, so I probably need to, or I'm going to start fueling up, so I need to let this go. Talk to you later.